Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together, and the first hour is going to be a joy. If you listen to the show regularly, you've met Del Stecker before, and if you took my advice, you've read a number of his books. Incredible writer and compelling mysteries, but if you really have read a lot of them, then you probably realize that there's a deeper side when you're looking at things like Tard or Job 2.0. Yeah, you get another side. So when recently was communicating with Del, and he said, "You know, I had a not-so-near-death experience. Maybe we can talk about that on the air sometime." I just jumped at it. I said, "You betcha we will." So there's a lot to talk about. And he threw out a few things, all of which are compelling. So we'll get to it as we welcome Del Stecker back to WGN Radio. Hey, Del, how are you?
I'm very much alive.
Yeah, and thank God for that. But more than most people, you've been closer to the other side than the rest of us. And so my first big question is, you told me, and we're going to talk about your quote-unquote not-so-near-death experience, but of all the times you've been on the brink of death and your doctors consider you lucky, and some of them probably shake their heads and don't know why you're still with us, but other than this last experience, have you ever had any paranormal intrigue during those episodes?
Oh, yeah. I think I've been close to the edge, as they say, or I've been in that zone where the material and spiritual realms overlap each other. There's been a great presence that I'm aware of, and nothing until this last time was as specific. There's always been an awareness, which has caused me to have a seeking. Maybe that's why I'm a writer, you know.
No, really, absolutely, and especially when it's sort of that ephemeral, you know something's there, and it's not one of those vivid A to Z near-death experiences. So that's interesting to me that there was that feeling in prior incidences as opposed to I was just sick as hell and then I woke up, you know, that kind of thing. So this last time, though, tell me what happened.
Well, it wasn't a classic near-death experience. That's why I call it not-so-near-death. You know, in NDEs, usually there's an astral projection where the person, it may have been even determined to be clinically dead or pronounced dead, that they're outside their body and they're looking back and they're seeing the scene and all that. And in my case, I was not outside my body. I was in my body and I was aware of the things going around me. But my focus and attention was this, I described it as like a wrestling match with death. Instantaneously, you know, in a split second, it began and was over. And also, I was aware that it took 11 hours. So it was, you know, time was altered. But I was, I felt as if I was in a dark, murky place wrestling with this, like, octopus that it just went on and on and on. And I had the sense that I was wrestling for my life. And I kind of asked myself the question, is this the time you call out to Jesus? And I got a definite message back. No, he's busy.
Oh, I will say, yes, already this is very different than most NDEs. I love it. So he's busy, and you're thinking, God, I guess I'm this inconsequential. But on the other hand, the person or the entity telling you he was busy, that's really interesting. So continue.
I was telepathically told, no, he's busy. I've got this, and it was apparent to me at the time that it was, if you believe in the triune God, this was the Father entity saying, I got this, I'm in charge. And the sense of the awareness during this struggle was that he was my corner man in a boxing match or a wrestling match. And, he was there in a sense of, I'm here behind you, but this is your fight. You've got to do it. And it was a very, very long round one. It just seemed like to go on forever. And then right towards the, before I came conscious to the rest of the world, we were preparing in the break between rounds, getting ready for round two. This voice says to me, are you ready? And, it was like, you got to choose wisely. Are you ready? And I said, yeah, I'm game on. I'm ready to go. And it was a, yeah, oh, good. That's all I didn't know. And then it was all over. It was like he stepped in and called the match for me. And I became conscious to the rest of the world and normally. And I found out I was intubated with all the gear through my mouth and nose and all that stuff. And I had, tubes running in and out of every part of my body. And miraculously, I had gone from blood pressure of 280 over 150.
Wow.
Down to 39 over 30. And I had a stroke while I was in that situation. And they even, because of low blood pressure, they're concerned I might go into, my limbs would get gangrenous.
Oh, of course.
Because of no blood flow.
Right.
And but after 11 hours, I woke up and, I was okay. Immediately, my wife reminded me that I reached to, I made motion to her because I couldn't speak.
Right.
With all the, and I wanted paper and pen so I could start writing about my experience. Because the last thing I was conscious of from this voice was I was given the command, tend to your writing. And so that's what I did immediately. And from that, go through the healing process out of the hospital about a week later. I really got back to my writing. And as you know, I finished Boardwalk Blues.
Yeah.
And then I started working on a memoir, which is very different from other memoirs. It's not about me. I'm just the main connector to all the people. These are vignettes and stories about all the people that I've met in my life.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. When is it going to be published?
It's in the final stages to get to advanced review copies. I think it'll probably, the release date will be about the end of March, beginning of April.
Very good.
It's really close to being finished, but it has to go through a publishing process and printing and all that kind of stuff. They print a number of advanced review copies for comment.
Yeah.
And then, you get blurbs back and reviews, and then it gets actually published and released. I'm thinking probably around April 1st, maybe a little sooner.
Perfect. We'll definitely talk about it. Then I've got a lot of questions, so hang on. You may have some questions, too, and you're welcome to join us. I won't completely hog Dell, and that is 888-876-5593. 8888-ROLLYE. So wrestling with what is death, or who is death, or what was that? And is the wrestling physical, or is there a spiritual side of that as well? We'll find out all that and more coming up. But right now I want to mention the CC Radio 3. I know if you listen to this show, you're a radio lover. And if you are a radio lover, you should be well aware of Bob Crane. He should be knighted for the work he's done with radios, because back in the 80s, when reception on all the current radios just really went to hell, he said, I can do something better than this. And boy, did he. today, this is now decades later, the Sea Crane Company has a ton of radios out there, and they all have one commonality. They have just great reception, AM and FM. And the CC Radio 3 is the top of the line, the almost everything radio, with the addition of Bluetooth, because it's got a beautiful speaker and you can control the sound. So if you want to use it to listen to things, you know, you're not going to sit there with your phone and podcast, but you can have it and just near you with that alone. But as I say, great AM, great FM. And the beauty of this is, you know, you put this radio next to the average radio, tuned to a weak AM station, for instance, then turn on the CC Radio 3 and I don't have to sell it, it'll sell itself. It's also got the basic emergency capabilities, NOAA weather, the 2-meter ham band. It's got a clock alarm, a timer, a dial light, presets, and it's John's bedside companion. Yeah, for good reason, too. So if you listen primarily for voice content, how it's going to sound alone will be worth it. So go to ccradio.com anytime and check it out. ccradio.com. If you can't go online for some reason, they've got terrific customer service in the U.S. of A. They'll answer all your questions and you can order right by phone. That's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, this is not only great products, but a real repository of radio information and reception and things like that. So go to ccradio.com and look at the CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. Of course, Jackie Wilson, 1967 on Brunswick. Your love keeps lifting me higher and higher. Renard Minor, who used to call this show all the time till he passed away, now it's almost 2 years ago, he co-wrote that. And it's interesting, if you have the Brunswick 45, you will not see his name on it. And I remember talking to him about that. I said, you know, you co-wrote it. Are you getting the royalties? Oh, yeah. He said, no, they corrected that. So that was good. And, of course, it's Chicago royalty right there with Gerald Sims and Carl Davis, and just a terrific record all the way around. And the reason I played it is, of course, it was one of Del's requests. Del is able to choose all of the bumpers this hour, and 2 out of 3 ain't bad. We'll be talking about that as the hour goes on. And so Del, obviously in the murky darkness in this exhausting fight, there's clearly physicality to the story, but on the other hand, is there at that point spirituality to it? And do you have any idea, obviously you're fighting death, but who was playing the part of death? Or what?
No, it was, I didn't define it. I was too busy fighting it. I would say you could name it the devil, Satan, the Beelzebub, the Grim Reaper, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
I got the very distinct impression while I was doing it that it meant to take away my consciousness and destroy me entirely. That's the spiritual component of it. I knew that if I lost this, it was the end. It was very dark and it fought dirty too. And I felt it for all that, like when I finally came out of it after 11 hours, I was exhausted physically, arms and feet, everything hurt, physical activity, the strain of it. The spiritual component was, I had a corner man who was there, I felt very, very well supported, but I also got the impression that, it was my job to fight.
And your ability to fight, which I think is the real thing, because when you're faced with that, you hate to think that maybe you won't prevail, but clearly you were put in charge of prevailing. So it was, very possible to do, which is, as far as I'm concerned, the really uplifting part of that story. But the final message of tend to your writing is probably most interesting, because so many of us wonder, why are we here? And, if I have a purpose here, what is it? And it sounds like you got your answer to that.
Yeah, everybody goes, what's the purpose of life? Well, I got a very distinct boost for, I'd always wanted to write a novel and become a writer, and in late in life I did. And this was a real kick in the shorts to go back and really focus on it, tend to your writing. When you get a command from, what I would call the sovereign creator of life itself, saying, you got a job here to do, and okay, you got through this struggle, so what do you do about it? It's not like you get a vacation. It was, tend to your writing, which I really went back to. And, I was very productive. And then after a while, maybe about 6-7 months, then all of a sudden I got writer's block. Ooh. Which I'd never had in my whole life, where I had a list of things I wanted to write and these topics and things, and I just couldn't get it out. And so that's when I mentioned to you about going to quantum hypnosis healing therapy.
Well, we're going to talk about that. I guarantee you. I'm fascinated by that. But in many ways, as much as it was not only a struggle in the experience you were having, but truly a physical struggle right here on terra firma, getting over that surgery and recovering. But what a wonderful gift to know your purpose, to really have a sense of here's what I'm meant to do, and by golly, I'm going to do it. We're talking to Del Stecher. If you haven't read his books, well, you don't listen to the show often enough, because hopefully I have enticed you enough that you have gone to Amazon, and I've got a link right on Raleigh.net on the homepage, and you can see all of the novels. And there's a lot of different aspects. And yes, the latest Boardwalk Blues, of course, is compelling, but so many more things as well, especially Tard, but a lot more too. But so we'll pick it up there. And I got plenty of questions. Quantum QHHT, a fascinating discipline, and I can't wait to find out what Del found out right here on WGN Radio.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came. Playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey, hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with all our hearts a thumping, and you, a brown eyed girl. And whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow? Gone down the old mine with a transistor radio. Standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding high a rainbow's wall. Slipping and sliding all along the waterfall with you, a brown-eyed girl. We used to sing sha la 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 la, just like that. Sha la 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 la
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, it is Van Morrison. Bang Records, Burt Burns produced it. And, of course, Van Morrison wrote it, as well as sung Brown Eyed Girl. And that was another one of Del Stecker's requests. And absolutely nothing wrong with it. Yes, I'm building up to the third one. But we'll be getting there, no doubt about it. And, yeah, Van Morrison is an interesting guy. Of course, not only musically, but, boy, within the last few years, his views on COVID really put him in front and center in the news. So always something coming out of Van. So good deal there. All right. So QHHT, which this now we're talking Dolores Cannon country. And what made you think that you wanted to try that?
Well, it's purported to connect your subconscious mind with healing and spiritual growth. And I was in the mind frame that, you know, I was told to tend to my writing, and I had writer's block, and I'd tried prayer and meditation and everything, mm-hmm. and nothing worked. So I said, well, okay, I'll try this.
This is great. So, I love this, you know, by the way. Now, one of the big things about it is getting onto your past life. So I can't wait to hear what you found out.
Well, here is specifically when we go through an interview process and all this preparation, I made it clear that I was not interested in past lives and reincarnation. I was more concerned about going back through time to a spot when I was very young, at about 3.5 years old, which I perceived for a long time that I was under a trauma, and my life was focused on that incident, and I wanted to know what really happened as best as I could understand. And I figured if you can take me to past lives, you can at least take me back to that time.
Yeah.
And along the process, that was uncovered, and it was like, blah, no big deal. But along the way, as I understood going through the process, you cannot fake emotion when you're under hypnosis. You mm-hmm. can't start crying, and there's no way for somebody to, you know, for the patient, so to speak, to deceive the hypnotist. And I was discussing a relationship with the lady who is, in my mind, is actually my mother, who treated me as my mother. Mm-hmm. And I just broke down and sobbed. And really, I think the writer's block that I had was I hadn't been able to appropriately and with reverence and respect for her to pen the vignette that I needed to write about that lady. And when I did, it just broke out. They taped the sessions. I went back one time to listen to it, and it was very painful for me to go through again, because I just broke out sobbing and crying and all. And so my experience was not for past lives. It was kind of like to the edge of that point, and it was very helpful. It was worth everything I put into it, the time and the money. It just really. And since then, all I've been doing is writing like crazy. No problem whatsoever. And in about a 6 month period, I completed what I call my opus, my memoir. And that was what I was told to do. So the quantum healing hypnosis therapy really worked for me.
So I want to know, why were you adamantly not wanting to know about past lives?
I've wrestled with the idea of reincarnation, and I'm not really sold on it as a reality.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, part of understanding reincarnation is that you don't have a memory from life to life, that your soul has the memory. And me, Del Stecker, in this physical life and time now, I have no memory of that. So I'm skeptical of it. I could be totally wrong. I'm open to being totally wrong. But, you know, I went for the subconscious healing portion and spiritual growth part of the QHHT therapy, and it worked. So, I have nothing to say negative about it. Just I think spiritual. I just don't believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
If I had my corner man in my not so near death experience talking to me, I think that was enough, you know?
Yeah. No, I get that completely. But if you ever do it again, I'd be curious, because what I've read on some of the people who've gone through it, and, you know, YouTube's loaded with that, of course, is that some of what supposedly was a past life, and, you know, who the hell knows? While we're on terra firma, we don't have that insight. But it seemed that unlocked and really, really showed exactly what was going on with certain problems they were having in this existence. And I always found that, you know, that thing, things that plague us now, sometimes we come away knowing why, possibly knowing why, who knows. But I find the whole thing fascinating. I tried it once and I was a failure. I think it was the wrong person, but I just couldn't get anywhere. You know, absolutely nowhere. And, you know, I've done a lot of those other things, because over the years I've had people on the air and I've gone through many things. And I have been able to be hypnotized without a problem. But this was one time where, man, 2.5 painful hours and I went nowhere. But maybe I'll try it again sometime, because it is fascinating. And, you know, you certainly got more than you bargained for out of it, because if it stopped a writer's block, that alone is enough to recommend it. So here we are, and you, like I say, have had more close brushes with death than most people who are still around to talk about it. So firstly, how are you feeling now?
Actually, the last 6-8 months, I've had a number of visits with various practitioners, and all these things are coming back positive and good. I went to my cardiologist; they said, "Don't come back for a year."
Wow!
You know, and I joke about it. You know, when people, particularly, you know, I'm 75 now, and people get up to a certain point in life, they start telling you about their health, and and I go, "Oh my God, I don't want to hear the organ recital."
Yeah.
You know, but I have probably about 8 conditions that are chronic and serious, but right now I feel great. In the last 18 months since I had that experience, I've progressively gotten better and better, and I feel better. The one of the things, you know, I mentioned to you is that I had nagging arthritis in my back, and I had ozone therapy, and, you know, now I have no arthritis in my back.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
How many sessions did it take?
Three.
Wow.
And ozone, you know, oxygen, O3 is a gas injected into my vertebrae and my lower back. And I'm like a kid again. I mean, I was crippled. My back would bend over when I walked. Towards the end of my walks, I'd be in pain and agony. Now I'm fine. You know, when I think about all these things for alternative health care.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the individual is the patient. You have to take responsibility for yourself. And certain things work for somebody, certain things don't work. You know, you and I have talked about acupuncture before. I'm totally devoted to acupuncture.
Yeah.
I've gone through osteopathic manipulation therapy, which I think is a lost art in osteopathic medicine.
Yes.
You know, we have many modalities of potential treatment, and I try to tell people to take the best of Western medicine, which is fantastic when it comes to technology and diagnosis. I've had probably 5 or 6 brain MRIs because I have a brain tumor, and I have a brain leak, a brain fluid leak constantly. They never would have uncovered these things without you know, the technology of the Western medicine. So I'm never going to be, you know, poo-pooing that. And plus, after this heart thing, I had the ablation, you know, new technique, you know. But then again, I use acupuncture. I use other means of therapy. You know, it's if you're serious about your life, take control of it and do the best you can to find what works.
Oh, absolutely. And I got a lot to say on that, too. And I will. And, of course, Del will as well. And we've talked off the air about acupuncture and many other things. But especially at this point in time, yeah, you are in charge, and it is your responsibility if it is your body. So we'll pick it up right there. 888-876-5593 if you want to join in the conversation. Otherwise, sit back, and I'll be happy to hog Del. But we're playing his final request next, and I'm bracing myself for this. This is tangible proof that I love Del. Yeah, I wouldn't do this for you. Yeah, wait till you hear it. It will be very familiar coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, I don't have to tell you it's ABBA, who in the latter 70s was Sweden's second biggest import. The only thing bigger was Volvo. All right, tell you what, with over 150 million records worldwide in a short period of time, who can knock it? Well, as long as I don't have to hear it. All right, but I made an exception for Del, but I come to find out that this wasn't entirely your fault. You were coerced into making this request?
Not coerced. It's an act of love. I did it twice.
Your wife. All right.
Yes.
well, all right. I'll leave it right at that. But as I say, you know, in the last 50 years, and that record is going on 50 years old this year, they certainly haven't slowed down. They wound up getting divorced. They weren't singing and all that. But it went on and on with Broadway musicals and all that. So your wife certainly has the taste of the general population, and I can't knock it. So now the song, okay. We'll never be playing it again. All right. So with that in mind, talking about AltMed, you know, one of the things that's a great frustration when I talk to people who are, I won't say failed by allopathic medicine, but there's a lot of things that allopathic medicine doesn't do well, like autoimmune conditions and other things. And in talking with some people about looking outside the box, one of the things that I hear that just causes me to cringe is, well, my insurance doesn't cover it, so I can't consider it. There are times when investing in yourself, I think, is really key. But one of the problems for people is also just complete lack of knowledge in terms of, you mentioned acupuncture, and for some people, they have absolutely no idea how to find somebody who'd be good at that and how to know if somebody is good at it. And that's true for all of the disciplines that way. Now, as far as you, I assume, you know, growing up by Blue Island and all that, acupuncture and chiropractic probably weren't two words in your vocabulary. So how did you come to embrace this?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but my professional life, I started out, I worked as an administrative faculty member at a medical school. And then later on, in working in nonprofits and fundraisings, I managed and administrated a number of medically related projects. Began to be very friendly with a lot of medical practitioners, and one in particular, Cliff Metter, a very famous doctor. He and I spent a lot of time talking about medicine. And, you know, you mentioned allopathic medicine. You know, the history of 1911 was the Flexner Report. It was an analysis of medicine in America at that time. And that's when they decided that chiropractors were not physicians.
Right.
But osteopaths were. You know, and from that point, you know, historically, our culture in America, we took a direction. And all these things, home cures, you know, it's like today. You know, I live in Lancaster County where there's a lot of Amish. And they've actually jailed people in the Amish community for having homemade salves and remedies that they, you know, it's a terrible thing. They charge 25 cents to their neighbor, and so they're put in jail for selling, you know, these forbidden substances. You know, we've lost sight, you know, that we are in control. We should take control of our own medicine and spend some time, do some reading. You know, there's a wonderful book I saw about 50 years ago. It was about all the healing that the Native Americans had. It was a catalog kind of compendium. And, you know, they had tremendous plant-based healing and salves and ointments and all kinds of things. You know, we just gave it all up. You know, the FDA outlawed everything. Matter of fact, with ozone therapy, it's been used for over 100 years in Germany. But if you go to ozone therapy, they have to give you a disclaimer that it's a toxic material.
Right.
And yeah, and anything is toxic if you overdo it. But it was grandfathered in because it was in practice before the FDA came into existence. But spend some time. You know, I think we were so reliant upon systems and you know, now healthcare is a system. You know. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, it was not a system. It was a relationship with you and your practitioner, and you could have discussions and talk. Now they just want to shuttle you through real fast because they're in a system. They're graded, you know.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, you're going to find very, very few individual practitioners of medicine. There's very few out there now. Everybody's tied up to, you know, various groups and
right.
And,
yeah, absolutely. No, you're 100% right. And as you know, sadly, and I won't get political, but you know, in the name of making healthcare more affordable, it's actually become less within reach of people who don't have enough money to get out of the system entirely. But you know, the information is still there, and I agree wholeheartedly that doing some research is just your responsibility. And you know, I'm so glad that you stayed upon us, because it took John a while to embrace. Yeah, I'm going to try acupuncture, but he'll be 3 years post-stroke in a couple weeks, and acupuncture is the only thing that really made a big difference. So thank you for that.
Well, I can only say to people, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I have no answers that are definitive for anyone except myself. I have experiences, and I'm trying to attempt to understand those experiences. And along the way, in my experience, I got a really great spiritual message from, you know, what I believe to be the sovereign creator of consciousness. And he said he's in my corner and told me what to do. So,
and you're doing it.
I'm happy.
And
yeah,
I can't believe we've already gone through an hour. So a couple months from now, when the memoir comes out, my memoir, I'm looking forward to having you back on.
Okay.
All right.
I'd love to.
Thanks, Del. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
So, Del Stecher, yes, the link's right at Raleigh.net. We might continue to talk along these lines or whatever else is on your mind next hour right here on WGN Radio.